Welcome to the Farmer Letter podcast. In recent years, there's been an explosion of digital tools and platforms in the life sciences industry. These are designed to improve processes ranging from drug discovery and development through to registration and commercialization. As with everything in pharma and biotech, the value of these tools hinges on the strength of the underlying data, making it essential to capture research in a robust and reliable way. One UK-based company, LabStep, is helping researchers to accomplish this with a fully automated, cloud-based digital data capture tool. Digital tools to assist medical research already exist, but LabStep says that many scientists still resort to documenting experiments with pen and paper, an approach which it believes could be costing the industry billions in lost opportunities. Founded in 2016, the startup is already working with over 40 global scientific and health organisations. These include GSK and the UK Dementia Research Institute, as well as the Francis Crick Institute. The company has raised about $3 million to date and is looking to exceed this amount with a fresh funding round planned for the near future. With me to discuss his company's technology and future ambitions is Chief Executive Jake Schofield. Perhaps you could start with just a little introduction to yourself and your background.
Hi, I'm Jake. So I'm the CEO and founder at LabStep. My background, I did a degree in biomedical sciences. I did a research project on genetic manipulation of a thermobacteria for bioethanol production. I then kind of moved away from academia pretty quickly and went and worked in commercial R&D for a small amount of time. But a lot of those frustrations with how science was recorded, how that data was captured and shared, how you reproduce those key findings, a lot of those frustrations were amplified in that commercial setting. I had exposure to a lot of these digital tools, electronic lab notebooks, inventory management systems are not new. People have been trying to capture science digitally for 10, 20 years, yet a lot of these solutions out there were making the problem worse. And so I teamed up with a friend of mine that was still doing his PhD at Oxford at the time. And we set out to really solve this problem. I've been doing it now for a couple of years. It's been a pretty crazy ride. We've raised 1.8 million to date. We've kind of got backing from Seed Camp. We've been on the Google residency. We got put on Forbes 30 under 30. We've built a product now that's used at over 900 universities globally. We've got a really great cohort of academic, but also commercial research organizations, and things are just starting to pick up pace and re-accelerate.
You claim that more than 80% of scientific research data is being lost within 20 years. Can you explain more about the problem here?
Yeah, I mean, there's some pretty horrendous statistics around data capture within science. That 80% of scientific data being lost is a pretty bad one. And I think you distill it down, that really comes to the fact that there's incredibly low adoption when it comes to actually capturing a digital record of your experimentation. Science is incredibly progressive when it comes to the latest cutting edge for AI and analytics and all these analysis techniques. There's amazing adoption of hardware and technology and all these new cool instruments. But when it comes to actually how that data is captured, how it's recorded, the vast majority of scientists still use pen and paper. I think adoption is only 7% for electronic lab notebooks and digital tools. And so this means that if you're trying to record what you're doing and you're doing it in scrappy handwritten notes, or you're typing it up in all these different places, it means that when it actually comes to recreating these findings, or it becomes to kind of needing to reproduce those, or just capturing it for prosperity's sake, a lot of that information is lost. And so that's really at the core of the problem that we're trying to go and solve with LabStep. Can we change the state of play? Because this costs a huge amount of money, but it also leads to the reproducibility crisis at large. Over half of all results published can't be recreated, and that's a colossal waste of time, money, and it slows down that research process.
Have you been able to estimate the monetary cost of the loss of reproducible research, and what other costs are there in your view?
Yeah, I mean, this is a tough one. I mean, the easy way to approach this problem is the cold, hard fact that a conservative estimate is over half of all results published can't be recreated. What does that mean? That's those groundbreaking cures for cancer, those really disruptive innovations. Over half of all of the scientific output cannot be recreated because the process steps led to it can't be reproduced, weren't captured, can't be shared. That means that over half of all that R&D spend, scientific output, is wasted. And you have a look at how much money is spent on global R&D, we're talking billions, trillions. It's not small amounts of money. And so this is an incredibly, it's a black hole for money. And if we can even have a small change, a small percentage shift in how this data can be reproduced, recreated, that's going to enable us to save huge amounts of money. It's going to enable us to really accelerate the rate at which these disruptive innovations can have greater positive impacts on the world.
Your company is called LabStep. Could you describe for us what the product is, what your company does, and how it might address this problem?
Yeah. So I think LabStep, we're trying to take a completely innovative, disruptive approach to how scientists actually capture the research process, the nuts and bolts of what they're doing on a day-to-day basis to go and achieve those groundbreaking findings. And so traditionally, this has happened by scientists sitting down and writing a paper diary at the end of the day of what they've done. Now, LabStep is in response to a lot of these digital solutions that have been out there, but they just amplify researchers' time. You can imagine that if you're slaving away, spending 8 a.m. through to 10 p.m. carrying out all this experimentation, the last thing you're going to want to do is manually have to type up a diary of what you've done. And that's what's really amplified a lot of these problems, is that it's not that people haven't tried to offer solutions. It's just that all the solutions add to an individual's workload. They create this high activation energy, this big barrier to adoption. What we want you to do, and why we're taking this fundamentally different approach, is that we allow you to execute your process step by step, following these interactive procedures, these protocols, and we automatically build this audit trail of what I've done, how I've deviated, and then via an API, you can connect all your instruments, devices, those microscopes, and you can automate the capture of data so that you have this watertight audit trail from compliance point of view. You save huge amounts of time because this record is automatically being created. And for us, it's this incredible stepping stone to lab automation, to AI, because you have all this metadata and data annotated and organized in a really AI-ready format. And so, yeah, we believe that changing the experience around how you capture data and making it as user-friendly and as intuitive as possible really then provides the stepping stone for these other disruptive technologies.
So is this a self-serve platform? Are you offering essentially a subscription package, or are you also working with companies on a consulting basis to help them to use the product?
I mean, we have a huge customer support team. That's a big central part of our offering, is delivering a really nice experience. And a lot of that is being able to talk to somebody, getting help set up. But fundamentally, the core of our business is that this is a out-of-the-box, easy-to-use, instantaneously set up cloud-based SaaS platform. And so any scientist can go and easily import all their existing data, set up their workflows, and just start executing their science, focusing on their science, and then we do the recording for them.
And at this stage, are you working with any clients already? Are you
deployed? This is what's been so exciting, is that we had this hypothesis. We said, look, we want to take this different approach. We believe if we go and tackle this in a different way, then people are going to like what we're doing. And we started within academia, and the collaborative nature of science meant that it went from one lab to 2 to 10 to now being used at over 900 universities globally. We've got some really great big key institutions like the Francis Crick Institute. It's one of the largest life sciences research centers in Europe. And then recently, over the last year and a half, we've really focused on, okay, can we now go and build this within that commercial research sector? And so that's everything from large R&D companies, pharma companies, through the Francis Crick, we've got a deployment with GSK, through their Prosperity Partnership, and then also companies, everything from cosmetics, paints, chemicals, to lab-grown meats, alternative proteins. And that's actually been a really interesting sector for us, is that it's not just your classic drug discovery, biotechs, R&D. It's anybody that's doing lab-based research. And there's a whole host of incredibly exciting areas and fields, such as alternative proteins and lab-grown meat. And so we have cool companies like Shiok Meat making shrimp for the Asian market, Future Meat in Israel. We've got kind of 20, 30 of those companies now across the world. And it's been a really productive niche for us. But yeah, it's been exciting to see the uptake. And all of that has been driven by fundamentally a really great product and just a different approach, because we have no marketing. We have no like real sales push. That's all happened very organically.
You mentioned Francis Crick and GlaxoSmithKline in the UK. Are you also looking to the US as a market?
Yeah, I mean, completely. I think about 40-50% of our users are already in the US. I mentioned kind of a whole cohort of people in Singapore and Asia. And yeah, some of those bigger contracts and customers are in the UK, but actually some of our largest customers are actually in the US or Europe and Asia. We're very much global from the beginning. And I think that was a real benefit of being part of this scientific ecosystem, is that you'll have collaborators that are from Oxford University working with that lab group in Stanford, and it instantly makes that jump. And so from the get-go, we were always very global.
Right. So just to be clear then, as well as helping companies or academic institutions to collect the data that they're working on, this is also a platform for collaboration. Is that right?
Completely. Yeah. I mean, we touched on it earlier, like 80% of scientific data being lost. I mean, like a whole massive benefit of being able to find that data is that science by its very nature is a collaborative process. You want to be able to share in real time what I'm doing, how I'm deviating, and working with your colleagues. And so is the best way to do that sending a static diary that somebody has to read and interpret and try and diagnose your handwriting? No. It's about being able to see in real time what people are doing and seamlessly share information. And that in itself accelerates that research process and means that more exciting innovation can happen.
What are the next steps for the company looking forward? How well are you financed? Are you actively looking for financing at present? And what does the next sort of year or 2 years look like in terms of revenues?
Yeah, so I think we've been incredibly lucky in that we've had investors such as Seedcamp. I mean, they're one of Europe's leading early stage seed investor. They've got a whole host of unicorns, and they were incredibly helpful in that early stage, as was the Google Residency Program. So we're one of a small handful of companies selected to work out of Google offices. We've also been very lucky in that we've had some great strategic investors, and to date we've raised about 1.8 million pounds that have allowed us to build this product, launch this product, get and demonstrate a huge amount of traction both within academia and commercial organizations. We're in a very privileged position where over the last 18 months our revenue, I mean, every quarter we've grown by about 60-70% as far as recurring revenues. And we're now looking at partnering with an investor that's not going to just bring additional cash, but is actually going to be a real strategic fit and can help us as an organization take to that next level and really turn up the dial. We've demonstrated that we've got a very different product. We've demonstrated that people can use it, and we've got over 100% retention. It's now about, can we demonstrate that these mechanisms for growth that have led to here, we can turn up the dial. And so that really is the next chapter for us. We want to become the global tool for scientific experimentation, like GitHub is for computational code. We want to be that for the research and R&D community.
Have you considered taking the company public?
I mean, look, that's one of those things where it's long-term exit opportunities. I think for me, as a founder, I've never really been driven by, are we going to go and sell this company? Are we going to go and take this company public? One of our competitors, another company that has raised a lot of money coming out of the US, they seem to be going on that road where they've recently raised some very big rounds and they're pushing towards an IPO. It's certainly an option for LabStep, as would be a strategic acquisition. I think for me as an entrepreneur and a founder, I'm really just driven by solving problems in a different, disruptive way. And can we build this product and build this team, and the rest will take care of itself. But there are definitely some kind of pretty exciting opportunities for us and what we're building. And those will come further down the road.
obviously in the life sciences, there's a pretty stringent regulatory environment. What are the challenges that you're facing in terms of ensuring regulatory compliance with a platform like this, which is quite innovative and something that regulators may not have seen before?
I mean, for us, it's a major selling point, actually. I think you have a look at what we're offering and the ability to provide a watertight audit trail with timestamps, this uneditable record that says this user at this specific date did this version of this experimental procedure. Here is the data that was attached. That's incredibly powerful from an FDA or an audit trail or a kind of an IP protection point of view. We've had to make sure that our data security is watertight. There's full encryption in transit, full encryption at rest. We've had to invest very heavily on the security elements. We provide a permissions layer. And I mean, you have a look at what was previously happening. It was people sending files via email or data being handed over via hard drives. You send that email, it's a black hole. You have no idea where it's gone and where it goes. This you can see in real time. Who's seen that data? What changes they've done to it? Who has access to it? You can turn off access. And so that permissions and control mean that that security level and the fact that we are actually in a highly regulated space is a major selling point for us. And it's one of the real kind of competitive advantages that we can offer.
The pharmaceutical industry is perhaps famously quite conservative, slow moving. Is there any resistance within the industry to adopting innovative practices like this?
I mean, this is always a really interesting one. I think you have a look at science and there's this weird dichotomy where it's incredibly progressive when it comes to new and innovative hardware, the latest microscopes, instruments, devices. It's incredibly innovative when it comes to the adoption of these incredible analytical packages. And it's not to say that there isn't kind of additional kind of waves of really disruptive, exciting technology, be that lab automation, the use of AI within these spaces. I think LabStep wants to become that real bridge that allows more scientists to really use this technology on a day-to-day basis. But you're right. The stats are, I think it's 7% of all researchers use an electronic lab notebook. That's crazy when you have a look at this technology has been around and why is it that these haven't been adopted. Now, for me, it's not that there's a resistance to adopt technology. They use technology. It's just that the technology that's previously been offered has not been fit for purpose. And that's really what's driven LabStep's progress is us offering a different platform, a different approach, a different experience. There is a real appetite. I mean, most people are of a generation where every other aspect of their life is on a super slick mobile device. They're using Slack to communicate. They're using email. They're using all these other digital tools. And it's just about how can you provide a platform and a solution that really fits the needs and the problems that they're trying to solve. We haven't really seen as high a kind of the barrier to adoption as you'd expect. I think we've also been quite clever in a disruptive bottom-ups approach where it gets adopted by individuals and then spreads to lab groups and spreads to whole institutions. And that's been very effective and has allowed us to rapidly grow. We're also ultimately very lucky in that we have a disruptive product that is really kind of solving a lot of these problems.
It's a very dynamic area and a fascinating subject. Jake Schofield, founder of LabStep, thank you very much for taking time to speak with us today.
No worries. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.